The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In Acts 8, we meet an interesting person, Simon the Sorcerer. Many wonder, was Simon born again? And if so, why was he so confused? Why was he told to repent? Let's think about this today here on Grace in Focus, and we welcome you, friend. This is a ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society, located in North Texas. Our website is faithalone.org. You can learn a lot about us there, and we also have a YouTube channel, YouTube Grace Evangelical Society, where we release short videos 2 to 3 times a week. Very similar to this program in content, so find us there, subscribe, and like our videos. We would appreciate it, but most of all, you will benefit from these videos. It's YouTube Grace Evangelical Society, and again, our website is faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Catherine Wright and Ken Yates.
And today we have a question from Max about Acts 8 and Simon the Sorcerer. So I think you have the question for us, Ken?
Yeah, and I love this question too, because Simon is, to me, one of the most interesting characters in the New Testament.
I just feel bad for him.
As probably most of you know, Simon the Sorcerer is living in Samaria. Philip comes and preaches about Christ there. Mm-hmm. And it says that the Samaritans believed, and it says Simon believed.
Verse 13.
Yeah, verse 13. Mm-hmm. So Simon believed, and then Simon was baptized. Now, baptism doesn't save anybody, but in the first century, that was a big deal. He was making a public profession of his faith. And it says that he believed, and that's what saved him. He believed, but he was also willing to publicly announce that faith.
And follow Philip.
That's right. And he's following Philip around, and he's very impressed, well, with the apostles, who's able to lay their hands on people, and they're speaking in tongues. And he wants the ability to do that. So he wants to have this power at work in him. Okay, great. Obviously, that's a fleshly desire, but he does it.
But he's a baby Christian.
He's a brand new Christian. Mm-hmm. He's a brand new Christian. And Peter rebukes him. Here's the deal with Simon. Pretty much everybody, if you pick up a commentary on the book of Acts, or if you hear a sermon on Acts 8, it's almost unanimous that Simon's going to burn in hell forever.
Mm-hmm.
People will say, well, I know that Luke says he believed, but he didn't really believe. I know he got baptized to proclaim that faith publicly, but he wasn't sincere in it. He had some other motive for wanting to be baptized. We don't know what that motive was, but I guess going along with the crowd or whatever, you know. So, okay. Then they say, yeah, but he was arrogant. He wanted to be able to have all this power, and no true Christian would be arrogant, right? I mean, that's not possible, particularly, as you said, particularly a young.
No true Christian would want to have this power of the Spirit.
That's right.
That's such a...
Yeah. For example, no true Christian would ever want a bigger church than other people have.
Or no true Christian would want to be able to prophesy.
Right.
Or heal.
Right. Or be a great preacher or anything like that. That's just not possible.
You know, one of the things that Ken and I do is we've done some mission trips to Africa over the last few years. And in Africa, they do have quite a few folks who they're saying that they are prophets and they're healing and they're, you know, performing all these great deeds. And I remember having a conversation about this passage because they all said, yeah, Simon was an unbeliever. Simon was an unbeliever. And I remember just being like, don't you all want this power too? You know, I see it, you know, we taught it at a school with some young men, and all of them to some degree want to be pastors, and many of them claim to be apostles today, many
and
of
prophets.
Them and prophets and faith healers and having cast out demons and all these things that they've claimed that they had the power of the Spirit. And yet they come here and say, well, Simon's not a believer because he wanted to have the power of the Spirit.
It makes no sense.
It's such an odd position, especially among those groups. So, but it is by far the most common view of Simon.
Yeah. And so I compare it to this, and I just kind of a funny thing, you know, he didn't have real faith. We really said he believed. No, he didn't. And he was baptized. No, he wasn't really sincere. You know,
it's all fake.
It's just my experience is everybody wants to throw Simon in hell. Everybody's like, Simon has got to go to hell.
Because he wanted to have the power of the Spirit. Yeah.
So he's just got to go to hell. It reminds me of that skit in Monty Python in Search of the Holy Grail when they have the plague and they bring the guy out. They bring this guy out and they want to bury everybody and this guy, but he's alive. And he goes, well, I'm alive. No, you're not. You know, he goes, no, I'm really okay. He goes, no, they hit him over the head with a club. Yep. This guy's got to die, everyone else. And that's the way it is with Simon. But Max asks a very particular question about Simon. What about his repentance?
Mm-hmm.
Because when he shows his arrogance, when he shows Peter, I wish I could do this. I'll pay you. I'll give you money if you'll give me this power. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to do what you guys are doing.
So wait, what was Max's question?
Max's question is, what about his repentance?
Mm-hmm.
Because when Peter rebukes him and Peter says, Simon, your money is going to perish with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, he doesn't mean your money's going to go to hell with you.
Mm-hmm.
He means God's going to discipline you. If you keep this attitude of arrogance, you're a young guy and I know you're growing, but you need to get rid of this stinky thinking, right? Stinking thinking, whatever it is, okay? Mm-hmm.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
Peter says to him in verse 22, repent therefore of this your wickedness. What I find interesting there is Peter does not say believe. He says turn from your sin. Mm-hmm. Now, if Simon was an unbeliever, Peter would say you need to believe.
That's right.
But he goes, you need to turn from your sin, this sin, this wickedness that you have, where you want to be the big man on campus. You want to be able to perform all these miracles. You're proud, you're arrogant, whatever you want to say. You need to turn from that. And then he says, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Your heart is not in the right place, and you need to be forgiven if you want to have fellowship with God. Right now, you're sinning with this attitude. It's not that you're an unbeliever. It's just that you're sinning.
And you're not in fellowship with
the Lord. You're not in fellowship with God.
Right.
You're not walking with him here.
Mm-hmm.
You're walking according to the flesh. You want to be an important man. You want people to look up to you. And by the way, there's lots of preachers like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of Christians like this. And so Peter tells him to repent.
And pray.
Yeah,
he needs to repent and he needs to pray. He needs to seek the Lord. Like, there's a lot of things going on here that are making conditions to receiving eternal life, if that's what we're talking about here.
Exactly.
So
imagine if these
fit.
Are the requirements.
Right.
And so what does Simon do? It says in verse 24 that he repented. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me, this discipline that God's going to do me. Max's question is this. Why do people say that Simon's repentance was not genuine? Because, again, the vast majority of people look at him and say, well, he wasn't genuine. His faith wasn't genuine. His baptism, you know, his confession of faith wasn't genuine. His actions of his arrogance shows that his life is not genuine. He's just a dirtbag in every single way. And so people who go down that road, they're going to conclude that when he repents here, when he says to Peter, Peter says, repent, and he goes, okay, will you pray to the Lord for me? Then that's not genuine either. He doesn't really mean it.
I think I've also heard just that it doesn't say that some people just say, well, we don't know what happened, right? Peter's rebuke. He's trying to get him to come, you know, to repentance, AKA be saved from hell, which is problematic, but that it's just open-ended. We don't know.
Right.
So that is also another view that you'll hear.
Yeah, and what Max's point was, why do they think that people look at this and go, well, he wasn't saved? And here is the answer I have been told. And it just drives me crazy.
This whole thing drives you crazy.
The fingernails on the chalkboard, right? I heard someone say, preach it on this, that his repentance was not genuine because he did not pray. He asked Peter to pray for him, which is just the stupidest thing. Okay, so here's Simon, a young believer, and Peter says, God's going to discipline you.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take your money from you, and it's going to get burned up, and God's discipline's going to fall upon your life too. Mm-hmm. God may kill you. Just a few chapters earlier, Ananias and Sapphira were killed because mm-hmm. of their attitude, and Simon doesn't want that to happen to him. So he says, will you pray for me, Peter, to the Lord, that this wouldn't happen? And to say mm-hmm. that, well, his repentance is not personal, because if he really would have repented, he would have prayed himself.
They're reading motive into this.
Well, yeah.
It's just not
and it's
there.
It's crazy. Like all of our listeners, have you ever asked people to pray for you? Have you ever been struggling with something? Maybe a sin, and ask people to pray for you? Or what about if you went to one of your elders or one of your pastors, someone that you looked up to, someone who was mature in the faith, and said, would you pray for me because I'm struggling with this right now? I mean,
if anything, it shows humility.
That's exactly what I think.
Yeah.
I look at Simon here and I'm thinking, man, Simon comes across really, really good. Instead of Peter saying, you need to pray to the Lord, and Simon goes, yeah, I'm pretty cool. I'm going to pray to the Lord, which he should have.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
he should have. But instead he goes, oh, man, if I was living in the first century and I was struggling with a sin and Peter or John or Matthew rebuked me for it, I would have done exactly what Simon did.
Yeah.
Would you guys pray for me?
Right.
I'm afraid that you guys walked with the Lord for all those years. You know better than I do. Will you pray for me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so
it's just that it goes back to people want him to be an unbeliever.
He has to be an unbeliever.
He has to be an unbeliever. And so therefore, this can't be a genuine comment, instead of just allowing the text to say what the text says. He believed, according to verse 13. He's asking for Peter to pray for him. That's what the text says. You're implying all these evil motives that are just not stated.
Yeah, it's a thing. The thing is, Simon's a believer. He's a young believer. He has a problem with pride and wanting to be the big man on campus. And Peter rebukes him. We don't know what happened. Simon may have turned into a great, mature believer. But one thing is for sure. Simon's going to be in the kingdom of God. He'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
Luke says he believed. And I think these people are awful harsh on Simon, the sorcerer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope that helped, Max. And in the meantime, for all of us, remember, keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, what are the benefits of the resurrection for believers? Please join us, and in the meantime, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.